That's a bit better. Hello. Yeah, this is, we're going to be talking to Brendan in a minute. I'm just doing a brief introduction first. So I did meet Brendan a day or two ago in Dunleary. And he just happened to email me out of the blue a little bit. What do you call that one? It's a little bit short notice, but I was able to make it. Because I'm in Wicklow, which is not far from Dunleary, and there happened to be a train, you know, around about, you know, a time we might be reaching there. I was like, I was trying to wonder how I could figure it out first, because I still had to do some work, some trading, and my car wasn't there because my wife had gone down with her sister to Cork. So I was like, yes, I definitely want to do this, because I was even trying to ask Neil from Into Your Head, did he want to go for a drink, kind of, I think it was only the day before or a day or two before, on the DMs in TikTok, because I couldn't find him anywhere else. Or was it after I checked Twitter? But never mind. And but I was doing that in anticipation for Brendan arriving, to see if we could get him down or something. But anyway, that's just how it happened. And I was able to finish up my trades. It turned out my wife was just on her way back and was able to give me a lift, actually, through the train. So that was fine as well. And collected me later. And so I did meet up with Brendan. And the reason I'm doing this introduction, sort of, I know I might kind of seem like wasting your time or something, or dragging it out. It's just that I listened back to it, and I've been thinking about it. Like, I might not even put this on the front of it, but, you know, I also made sure to duplicate it in case I delete it by accident or something before I upload it. But it's only about an hour long, and, yeah, Brendan was absolutely great, a gentleman, as expected, and, it was just my own sort of quips, you know. I did tend to, and I think it, apparently it's an ADHD thing, and I actually don't notice it at the time. I did tend to interrupt a few times in some places, you know. So, like, I thought maybe it's a good idea to interject, because there's sometimes he's asking a question, I don't even answer it, I'm just overriding him, which is like, it's very kind of rude, you know. And I don't really notice it at the time, although I do notice that there's something wrong with my communication. I don't know what it is, but I'm like, this isn't going. There's something, you know, not right. But it could be also because I was just excited to get out as well, and excited to talk to Brendan. But apparently, as well as that, it can be an ADHD thing. And I have been told before that I do interrupt, and I was surprised to hear it. So, but listening back to that, I definitely did a few times, and so, sorry for that, it wasn't, you know, intended. And for people listening as well, it's definitely not out of rudeness or anything. It's just kind of more like excitement or something. Or trying to get a thought out before I lose it or something. But Brendan is very gracious person. Not even because of that, but he's just a sort of a very gracious person anyway. So but it was great to meet him. What else was I going to say about it? It was basically, yeah, I'm still, the whole thing is a bit, because I'm drunk because I'm trying to get, you know, comfortable enough to get into interesting conversation and topics and stuff. So I start stumbling over my words and things like this. So, not really making excuses, I'm just saying this is like, you know, I suppose I am sort of making excuses, I don't know. It's a bit like, you know, just beware that was the situation, that's all. You know, I suppose in a way I am saying don't judge me, but, you know, and sometimes I'll say things like, you know, there's one part where I kind of talk about, you know, I hate Irish people and stuff. You know, it's not, that's not my full opinion, obviously. It needs to be hashed out and talked about, but you know, there's huge generalizations and stuff, but yeah, in general, like, you know, Irish culture doesn't really suit me, and I kind of talk about that, but that might upset some people the way I kind of just throw it out there or something, so people might think, you know, it does sound real dickheaded-ish, like, you know, saying things like that, but it needs to be, you know, it's not a fully communicated thought. They're sort of like just almost brain farts, you know, almost thought experiments in a way. There's some truth in there, you know, but so I'm just saying, obviously we're in the era of cancel culture. I know nobody really cares that much in here, and I've always sort of experimented with things like that anyway. It's more for judging people's reactions than people judging me for saying whatever is the reason that I kind of sometimes do things like that. But in this case, I think I was just stumbling over my words and that kind of stuff. And as the older I get as well, you know, the more cavalier I am and the less attention I pay to my words. And I'm just, you know, more of a stumbling, not very eloquent, put it that way, with communicating. And maybe I think, and what I've always sort of thought of would be maybe in the future, maybe not so distant future at this stage, have some sort of studio set up. So if microphones, distance, you know, maybe have like a whiskey or two, but not get too drunk, that kind of thing, get comfortable beforehand. But you know, we only had 3 hours and I don't get out often, so. But I was actually okay. I was on a low carb diet and that. Just taking these low, I was only taking vodka and these kind of low carb kombuchas, and the hangover wasn't too bad. It was kind of in the middle of the night it came. I made sure to drink a lot of water with some sort of ingredient in it that helps rehydrate or something. And so it wasn't too bad, actually. I did email Brendan later. He said he wasn't doing great, so he mixed his drinks a bit with Bulmers and beers and stuff, so cider, or known as Magners in the UK, probably in the US as well. I don't know if it's Bulmers in the US, if he's getting it there or not. Anyway, so I think that's all. Set up the introduction for it. And I suppose without further ado, then I'll just attach it on here. I think that's all. I might edit just one or two small things out, which are not. But basically the whole thing is just kind of natural how it went or whatever. But yeah, it's great to meet him. He might do it again. I mean, especially if he's going to be living in Ireland. I don't know if he is going to make that decision or not. Oops, I just let a... That was a bit of a spoiler. Shouldn't have said that. Anyway, I better shut up now. And here you go, have a listen. This is meeting Brendan in Dunleary, so enjoy. Yeah, that's exactly what I did. Yeah, because it must... Yeah, there you go, you're right. Okay, we're sitting here with Brendan from West Virginia. Well, from Ireland, who's been in West Virginia and is back in Ireland. We're in Wetherspoons in Dunleary. I came up from Wicklow. You came from?
I came from Enfield.
Enfield, which is in Kildare, is it? Yeah. And so, yeah, we're just having a few drinks. I'm getting warmed up a little bit with some vodkas and kombucha. And I'm just going to stick this in between us now. And so you might have to hire the volume up. And then we'll just see what happens. Just give it a go. Anyway, we've been talking a few things already. Yeah, we've been talking about a few things already. Brendan's going to keep you occupied there for a minute while I get...
I'm not going to keep you occupied. There's a James Joyce quote on the wall. I walked down the pier, I guess, and the library. They've got a very impressive library here. This is Dunleary. It's not spelled the way you would think. It's L-A-O-G-H-A-I-R-E, I think. Yeah, the 40-foot hole is mentioned in Ulysses. And it's featured in the TV series Bad Sisters.
Ice Cube melting on the table here. So Wetherspoons is a place where we order, you can order online, kind of. It's a UK chain, basically, isn't it?
I hadn't heard of it before today, so.
Oh, did you not? Yeah. So you can order online and all that kind of stuff. Apparently there's a thing you can do on Facebook. Now, I'm not really on Facebook, but you can get other people to buy your drinks if you just post on Facebook your table, and people from all around the world, well, from in the UK and whatever, can do, they'll just send drinks to your table from wherever they are.
Go ahead and try that.
You see, I'm not on Facebook, so I don't even know. But yeah, I've heard people talk about it, but I don't mind. I'm paying here today, so. But yeah, I asked for tissues, she goes, there you go. She pops it in the middle of another load of wet stuff. But anyway, there we go. So yeah, we've been talking about some secret stuff that we can't really go on about, so we're just going to be...
I've heard interesting things about it.
Anyway, we will... continue. Yeah, it's similar in nature because you came from a religious sort of thing that you got involved. Were you at all religious when you beforehand?
Yeah. I grew up Catholic. I wanted to be a priest when I was a kid.
I wanted to be a priest when I was very young as well.
Yeah, like I was really into it. Like I would ask Santi for a Bible and stuff like that.
Yeah. So you were really into it?
I was.
Okay. No, I just used to it, and I still am wearing my button right up the top. I used to think, you know, it was very, yeah. Oh, that's interesting, yeah. So you seem to have that sort of, what is it, spiritual thing?
Yeah, I'm pretty disillusioned with it currently, but it is something that has appealed to me, and I think I need it to again. And I might, like, part of the thing is antidepressants. I think I've been, like, closed off emotionally, and I'm thinking of weaning myself off those to try to get back in touch with that side of myself.
Yeah, yeah. So do you... So you're just sort of spiritual in nature, but the whole... Was it Jehovah's Witnesses or something you were...
Yep. Yeah. When I met my wife, I was agnostic, like I didn't believe in much. And then I would go with her to her kingdom hall. And then eventually what they're teaching you, you know, filters through and you start believing it.
Yeah.
And then you become a zealot for a short time.
Yeah.
And then you start to see the holes in it. And you fall out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And presumably there is secrets, because I've heard, like... Well, I've seen things online that the hand comes through the curtain to give you a handshake and things like this when you go up different levels.
I don't think that's Jehovah's Witnesses. No, not my experience of it anyway.
Oh, okay, okay.
The only secrets really is like the shunning thing. They don't like that. And also there was a child abuse scandal there too, like some Roman Catholics where they would not report things and, you know.
Yeah.
There's like a fraternity among the elders or brothers.
So oh, yeah, yeah. Different kind of like branches off or splinters of the group and that kind of thing.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. So can it be that in one country or one region, like they'll run it differently, slightly different than they would in another place?
I would say very slight, because all of it's dictated from New York, and they receive like teachings every month about things.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. But you're free now. You're a free man. You're divorced. You're out of West Virginia. Would you think if you moved to Ireland, would you miss the US?
Yes. In a lot of ways, life is simpler there. Like the pace, from my perspective, seems slower compared to here. The economy is like kind of a downbeat thing over there compared to here. Like it's pretty booming.
Yeah.
I kind of like the slower pace of life over there.
Explain that. What do you mean it's downbeat economy over there? Like,
sure.
I prefer the US because... Why would I prefer the US? Well, I don't know. I like the people better over there. I don't really like Irish people. I know it's terrible to say, and I don't really mean that in a, like, I hate Irish people way, but I don't understand it, and I never felt like I fit in here, you know.
Thank you. I feel the same way.
Yeah.
My family, you're talking about refugees the whole time, and Neckers and all this disparaging talk about other people. Yeah. Whereas I think in America there's more acceptance, the people I hang around with anyway.
Yeah.
So what I was saying was that in West Virginia especially, the job market is not like popping, and like there's not much employment. Yeah. And I think there are more resources for people, you know, who are struggling in that way.
And you think it looks like there is that more opportunities in Ireland for that kind of thing? Or?
I think there's more jobs here and like more...
Now, this is from your perspective of 2 weeks being back in Ireland, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, now, I don't know. You might be right.
Sure.
So,
if you check Munster and Indeed, you can see, like, even in my local area, which is pretty small, there's, like, hundreds of businesses available. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, hotels and...
Yeah.
There's all kinds of, like, banking businesses.
No, it's definitely expensive here, right? Definitely, yeah.
It's more expensive, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I've always fancied kind of living in America. I did for a little bit in New York one time, and like I traveled around slightly. But yeah, somehow I always fancied like kind of, even if I made enough money today, I think that's where I would go. I'd probably move to New York or something.
Yeah, I like New York too.
Yeah.
It's obviously it would be a struggle and no income, but.
Yeah, no, but if you had the money though.
Yeah.
That's probably, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Center of the universe.
Yeah, I really enjoyed
it. We'd all live beside Frank Edwinora. You'd buy the house to the left, I'd buy the house to the right there.
I think I'd like to live in the city. I was like on, I think, 99th Street. I stayed in a hostel. It's a very like neighborly area.
Yeah.
Lots of like small businesses and stuff. Where'd you stay in New York?
Sorry, I just finished the drink. Yeah, where would I go in New York? Well, I don't know it that well. Now, when I stayed there, I think I was only 21 or something like that. And I was on Bleecker Street, or very near Bleecker Street, down kind of like, it's that lower Manhattan, something like that. It's a nice area, like, but there was three. I lived with two gay guys, actually. One of them was young, one of them was old. One of them was a teacher. He was the older guy. I'm not sure what the younger guy did. And we were all living in this kind of, it's like a one-bedroom apartment. It was all like, you know how New York is.
Yeah,
like you had to pay. And another time, like, I was almost living rough. It was like with this kind of black guy from, I don't know where he's from, but he had all these dreads. We were basically living in an office space, you know. So we washed in the sink.
Yeah.
And that, and
space,
you know,
insane,
yeah. And when my girlfriend or ex-girlfriend, you know, came over, she spent the night there. And it was, I showed her, and I knew she was coming over. So I ended up getting this other apartment in, I think it was Brooklyn. And I was like, I was like explaining to her, so you can see how I needed to get this apartment for you, because that's how I was living. And she was like, yeah, I see what you mean. I honestly don't know how I did half the things in my life, because like, but money wise and everything, because sometimes I'm staring in the aisle, I'm in Tesco, and I'm looking at the price of Weetabix, and I'm saying, holy shit, how did I ever do everything I've ever done? And now, like, I'm looking at Weetabix, and it's 9 fucking euro or something for my child.
Food is insane over here.
And I'm like, what the hell? How did I do anything in my life? Because I never had money or anything, really. And I'm like, but I just somehow, I scraped through everything, you know?
Yeah, when I visited New York in 99, I stayed with a cousin, and it was at, like, a two-bedroom apartment in Queens. Yeah. There were 6 people in it, and I was sleeping, like, in the kitchen, which is, like, teeny kitchen. Yeah. Pretty much my head next to the fridge, feet next to the microwave.
Yeah. Anyway,
have you spent much time in Dunleary?
Rabbit holes. Dunleary. This is where we are now. We're in Dunleary, so we're at the harbour here. It's part of Dublin, isn't it? It's kind of on the. When you go down further, it's Wicklow, because you go Bray. Bray is kind of nearly half Wicklow sometimes. I don't know what the exact zone code.
It's probably a suburb of Dublin.
Yeah,
Wicklow.
Yeah, and then. And then there's Greystones, which I think is Wicklow. Maybe parts of it are Dublin too. But anyway, Dunleary here, I've been in Dunleary quite, you know, in and out over the years.
I saw a sign for the Martello Tower, but I haven't been there yet.
Martello Tower?
I don't know if you
in,
know, I'm a Ulysses fan, so it's heavily featured.
Oh, I had no idea. That's what Martello is?
Yeah.
Oh, what is it then?
I think it opens up in...
Ulysses is in James Joyce?
Yeah.
Okay. Can we have another one? Do I have to order that online? Okay. Sorry, I have to turn off the phone for a second. We'll be back. Interlude. Okay. Okay, so welcome back. So what happened there is you have to order online, or you can order at the bar, apparently. But I just decided to continue to ordering online. And I need to use my phone, and also we're recording on the phone. Sorry, this probably sounds like shouting to you because you probably had to turn up the volume. I'm cognizant of Brendan's vocal style is quite lower than mine, so I'm pointing the microphone towards him. Thank you. Oh, no, that's not ours.
No?
Nope.
58,
unless I put down the wrong.
Newcastle's for us, yes.
Oh, is it? Sorry. Oh, sorry. My fault, sorry. And... So I'm going to point the microphone again towards Brendan, because I'm kind of shouty anyway. And I think it works. Thanks very much. So I think it works out well that way. Sorry, any chance of a glass of he's gone again?
He's
yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I was going to get some ice. Anyway, Brenda's going to keep you company while I get some ice.
Brendan is no longer used to keeping people company. So am I drunk enough to talk about this? Possibly. It's been... I asked my wife for a divorce in December. I left at the beginning of February. The month of February felt like it lasted like a short time. Like I was really surprised when March arrived. But then March felt like it lasted a year. It's been a weird 2024.
There's an absolutely huge sign there. They must get it a lot because it says zero tolerance for any abuse towards staff. They must have like problems with it in here. Maybe it's something to do with ordering online or something like that.
I think it's all the Brits.
All the Brits? You think all the Brits come in here? Maybe from the ferry, yeah. Actually, I never thought of that. Right, okay. Interesting. Yeah, this is a very British pub because Wetherspoons is a UK chain, as far as I know anyway.
It's reasonable prices here.
Yeah. No, I was explaining that I'm turning the microphone towards you because I'm quite shouty and you're quite low, so I think that's the best thing that we can do here. And I'll turn up the gain on it later maybe if I have to or something like that. But we've been talking quite a bit of shite and we will continue to do so. What have we been talking about? What was the last thing we were talking about?
We talked about a bunch of stuff, but we were talking about Dunleary last, I think. Martello and James Joyce and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What is Martello? What's that all about?
So it's like a round tower, and in the first chapter of Ulysses, there are three characters who are staying in the round tower, one of which is Buck Mulligan. There's a Buck Mulligan's in this town, too, pub. And, like, it's just heavily featured in Ulysses and kind of famous.
Is it? I thought it was like a Spanish thing, Martello, you know, where the word came from itself. Of what it is, like it's a.
Sure.
Did it mean round tower or?
I don't know actually.
Right.
I know there are several of them, but I don't know.
But you're coming from the perspective of the James Joyce Ulysses.
I am indeed.
And so this is a big thing for you then. Like this. Now my sister likes this too, and I've looked into it a little bit, and I've kind of realized I haven't got a clue what any of it means. But there was a guy who came to a pub in. Near Rathfarnham, I forget the name of the. Hold on, how can I forget the name of this pub? I won't forget. Give us a second. One second, hold on. Buglers is the name of the pub. Now, this fellow was going around Dublin doing sort of enactments of Ulysses.
Can I take that glass?
Sure, yeah. Which one? This one? No, you're really using that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Right. So, anyway. So the story is, anyway, he went around doing sort of Ulysses things, right? And he probably didn't realise that was a microphone.
Right.
Yeah,
probably.
Sorry. No, I was judging him there. I shouldn't have done that. Now, hold on. But he was going around different places. Now, he was a proper actor, and he's proper, but he was doing it in pubs. And this is one of the pubs he went to in Dublin, and to explain Ulysses. However, he had... some sort of rendition of Ulysses that had the explanations beside it. Then I start to understand it a little bit more because he started explaining the bloody paragraphs, you know.
Yeah.
Now my sister bought that book and ever since she's mad about it because now she understands what it means. She's a sort of a bit like me. I'm what you'd call a pseudo intellectual. I'm definitely not like an intellect. I don't know things. I'm not like particularly academic or anything like that, but you know I like to think I am, and she's sort of similar to that in the way of like prose and you know what do you call those things, poetic things or whatever. Anyway,
I'm pseudo intellectual too.
Yeah,
I like Ulysses for the humor. Like there's a lot of Irish humor in it. It's kind of hard to find, but you know the way I experienced Ulysses first was reading it aloud and recording it, and
right.
I released it online. Around 2007, and then I later collected all that together. It's on the archive somewhere. It's like a 31-hour audiobook.
Oh, okay.
And that's part of it, you know. The language is kind of musical, so
reading
aloud,
sure
reading
is
aloud,
yeah,
a benefit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've read.
I do like those aspects of it. Yeah.
I've read a couple of explanatory books too.
Yeah.
And not unlike Frank Edward-Nora, I mean, he does talk off the top of his head quite a bit, and I mean, that's kind of where this
stream of consciousness,
stream of consciousness things kind of comes from. I mean, it's not a lot of people kind of like it. It's a very, although it was a very popular book in its own way, Ulysses, but not a lot of people like that style, though. You know.
Yeah, I can get that. I also like Mrs. Dalloway, but it's hard to get into. I know.
Mrs. Dalloway, what's that?
It's Virginia Woolf's has a similar novel, or similarly written novel, where it's stream of consciousness, but it's one day in London instead of one day in Dublin.
Virginia Woolf, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And she talks about the bells ringing are leaden circles of air. Like, that's a pretty musical phrase.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
So how come you never, like, actually went down this path? Like, it seems like you would be somebody who might be a kind of a, as we all might be on this kind of thing, like artistic or you know, the theater or something like that. Did you never think about going down that route? Did you ever try anything like that?
Yes, I was in Our Town in 1999, and then just last month I was in something called Gun Stories in Charleston, West Virginia.
Yeah, as an actor?
I've had two theatrical experiences, yes.
Oh, okay. Just last month?
Yeah.
I have to go. Did you have to remember lines and everything?
No, there's a local playwright. He wrote a series of monologues about the gun issue in America, and my role was an NRA spokesman, so I got to read the speech.
Yeah.
But we did like 12 to 15 rehearsals, so by the time you go through all that, you almost do memorize it.
Yeah. And you can feel confident about it then.
Yeah.
And did you like that experience, though?
Yeah, very much so.
Oh, you did? Because I thought I would, and I tried to do acting things and all that, and I hated it.
But particularly
because I love the idea of it.
Yeah.
But I hated doing it.
Particularly that time for me was like first month of my separation. And it was good to have something somewhere to go in evenings at the rehearsals and a group to be a part of, to feel like part of something.
Oh, sure, yeah. That's great. But and that was okay with you? That was like the whole interactive, like, you know, like I found that extremely stressful when I did it in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. And there's all sorts of, you know, if you're learning acting, you have to learn to get close to people. And we did all exercises like rolling under each other, touching each other, and you know, whatever it might be, yelling at each other, talk, anything to sort of be able to really connect with people. And that was extremely stressful for me. And I'm looking at you thinking, like,
sure,
you definitely probably are. You're definitely probably on the spectrum too.
Yeah.
You know, you're not good at eye contact and all that kind of stuff. So, like, did you not find that stressful then? Or
well, I was playing an NRA spokesman, so I was already kind of an outsider, you know,
Because for some people that can be even better, because they know the role they have to play, they know the words they have to do, they know it's like it can actually be less stress than a normal interaction, because you already know what you have to do, you know. So maybe you like enjoyed that part of it.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty easy. It was a good introduction for me. It was pretty easy.
Interesting. So do you think that might be a route you might take it back if you're going to decide? By the way, Brendan is 50-50 on whether he wants to live back in Ireland or not. And it's my opinion, I would say definitely I'd rather stay in the United States. Although I haven't lived there for 20 years.
Yeah.
So I don't have your perspective. So
I think finding a tolerable job here would be the...
Of course, the grass is always greener.
Deciding factor.
Yeah.
Because it's not ideal living with my mother. Mm. I'm taking out the ashes and bringing in the coal and the sticks and doing the dishes and all that kind of stuff. Mm. Like, it feels like infantilizing, like I'm back in my teenage years.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. That always happens, you know, no matter when. Even us as like, you know, 40, 50-year-old guys. Are you 40 or 50?
Closer? 46, yeah.
Yeah, so closer to 50. You know, and that always happens. Your mind will just go back there, and you know, you'll feel like that. Especially for someone like you who's been away for you'll immediately go back to those times, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, people like me who's probably had a little bit more closer contact whatever the word is. You know what I'm trying to, you tell you say the words.
you're more integrated?
Exactly. Perfect. See?
Thank you.
Yeah. So you know, it's a very difficult thing that you're doing, the transition, if you decide to do it. I don't know. Why, like, And you said you already said you'd probably regret, like, and already miss the United States for a number of different reasons. So,
sure.
what are the things that are there maybe pros and pushing
cons.
You to?
Sure,
to,
there are pros and cons to everything. Yeah. So there is something about, you know, it's a home basically. There is something about the culture here that appeals to me. The art and literature.
I've been trying to get my head around that, and I don't know what it is. What is it that makes it home for you?
I don't know what it is.
Because I don't know what it is either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there,
I really don't.
I think there's this, like, ancestral, historical thing, like, from the famine that we kind of, you know, band together.
Like, I kind of hate Irish stuff. Do you know what I mean? Do you know, I kind of hate that whole, especially the basic Irish, you know, in other words, our culture. Like, Ga, for example. Like, forget about it. Don't involve me in that. I don't want to know about it. Like, maybe the intellectual stuff like that, like Ulysses and all that, okay, I can take a bite of that for sure. Like, I'm interested in artistic stuff and all that kind of stuff, but there's certain things about our culture, like, I just can't, like, you know, go along. I don't find myself naturally, to use your word, integrating with. So, you know, I don't know like what my point is, even what I was trying to
That's
say
okay.
Yeah.
There's so many, like, there's so many subcultures now, I think it might be easier to find somewhere you belong.
Yeah, it's modern now, yeah.
Like, I'm aware of the negatives too, like, my family's pretty focused on the news and negative, and talking about refugees, and talking about tinkers, and, you know, all that kind of stuff, but yeah.
Travelers. I think is the appropriate, as they say nowadays anyway. I think the derogatory term is knackers or cream crackers and that kind of thing, but basically travellers or gypsies. Why is that playing? Why does that come up with you often? Because I don't see that, although it is a part of Irish culture and English culture. There's, you know, and even, what's your man? Brad Pitt was in one of them, wasn't he? Was with the Lock,
Snatch.
Stock and Barrel? Snatch, that's the one, yeah. He did a great job, didn't he, with the accent?
He did. I like that. I also like him in the Devil's Own. Was he in that, I think?
Devil's Own, no, I don't think
it was a Harrison Ford and Brad Pitt were in a movie about Irish terrorists. I think Brad Pitt played Northern Ireland. And I think it was called Devil's Own.
Was that with the other actor, fella? Was that the name of it, though, was it? No, I'm thinking of something else, I think. I'm thinking of something else. Anyway, I'll check that out.
To answer your question, there is a settled traveling family in the neighborhood. And any
so that's why this topic keeps coming up.
Yeah, anytime anything goes wrong, they blame that family. And, like, there's always this curiosity about, you know, are they going to build here? Or is someone else going to move in there?
You don't even ever make friends with them, though. Do you ever, like, sit down and talk with them and say, like, you know, because they're, like, obviously, it's a bit like, it's not very unlike sort of black culture in America, where there's an issue with a certain race or something like that. There's a little bit of that kind of going on, where, you know, if your house gets robbed and they're kind of living a few fields down or something, they'll get blamed for it, you know.
Very much so, yeah.
So, and that happened when I was growing up as well. And this can sort of settle anywhere, but until they're sort of kicked out. But I don't know, they definitely have more rights now, and they're standing up for themselves as a culture and as a race. Or I don't even know if they're considered a race. I don't know what they are, but
I think it depends, like, the Romani part of the gypsies are
Romani gypsies, yeah. That's a bit different. Is it the same, or is it different?
I think there's some integration involved there, yeah. But
they're trying to live outside society anyway, or something like that. Yeah, it was a whole thing. No, but, like, they've been quite accepted over the years now, since you kind of left. It's different now, you know?
Yeah.
Where, you know, this whole cancel culture thing and accepting people thing, and whether you're LBQT, traveller, whatever it is, you know,
sure.
You're sort of, you know, you're accepted. And I think there is a number of travellers who have sort of, I don't know a hell of a lot about it, but since you brought it up, I think there is a number of them that have achieved sort of, like, things that are important in culture and things like that. Like, they are important people. But yet, I mean, maybe some of them are involved in criminal activities and avoiding tax and all that kind of, sure, we know that. They all deal in cash and all that kind of thing, and they probably do better than most settled people regarding earning money and all that kind of thing. But sure, the thing is, I suppose, as long as they're not harming others, then I don't have a problem. And Jesus, having a problem with them today, you know, that's what they feel like. That's what happens as well with it. I've heard this thing, and I've recently talked about it, the autism accent. Sometimes when you're thinking about something, you nearly fucking take on the accent anyway. That's what happens sometimes, yeah. 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 So, but what's your, I don't know, what is your beef with it, I guess? Or what is, why does it keep coming up?
I know they
live down the road from you, but you not like them? Maybe introduce yourself or something.
I'm just noticing how my family talks about them. I have no problem with them at all.
Yeah.
In fact, this is a judgment against my family more than it is about them.
Yeah. No, but we got robbed. Our windows were taken out, and one of these hi-fi systems we had in the 80s were taken, and it was definitely blamed on the itinerants, I think is another word we use for them. And that may have well been true at the time. But I don't think, no longer do we need, they don't need flat screen TVs and things anymore to say. It's all about cash these days, you know? And if anything, for robbing and thieving things, it's more about people on heroin and stuff because they just want to get the next hit, especially in Dublin. Anyway, am I putting you off coming to Ireland now?
No, not at all. I was just thinking there's probably not much value in electronics these days because they're so cheap.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anyone can just get the things. We've touched on it like a number of different topics. I don't know. Do you have an idea where you wanted to go with this or anything? Or did you have an idea about a specific... I feel like you had something in mind, and I probably interrupted or something.
I don't recall exactly, but we could, if you don't mind, get a little bit deeper. So I everything with my family is kind of surfacey. Do you feel the same with your family? Like there's no talk about feelings or issues or anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I can't get people to talk about things that I want them to talk about, so I've just put up boundaries. That's the safest thing to do, is just look after yourself.
Yeah. It's tough,
and it's your right, you know. It's your right to be able to look after your own mental health and your own stability for your own family, or you know.
Thank you. That's something I'm probably going to have trouble remembering. Yeah. My mother's fairly insistent on me staying, I think, because you know I've been distant from the family functions and everything.
You know, I have a daughter now, so I can actually understand parenthood now, fatherhood, because I think no matter what age my daughter is, I'd love her to be close to me, I'd love her to be a friend for life, you know, and that's what she's sort of turning into, and I'll just miss that because I don't get it anywhere else. I don't get that respect anywhere else. That's what it is.
Respect from a kid, that's weird.
Well, you know, that's kind of what it is in a way, you know, maybe that's wrong, I don't know, but obviously, nearly every child, obviously not all, but nearly every child respects their parents in some respect, you know, in some ways. And, I suppose it sounds wrong in a way, but that's what I feel like. I can feel like I can have a friendship with my daughter in that way, because I don't feel like I get that anywhere else, really. Otherwise, you know, anywhere else I get kind of, unless it's the Overnight Escape Underground or something where people can kind of come together for a particular reason or interests, or maybe places on TikTok. But generally in life, people don't seem to have a respect or something, you know?
How did you find your lane on TikTok? When I jump in there, it's like a wide variety of things, and I feel like it would be better to narrow it down a bit.
Well, I think I have a couple of answers for that. There's probably 9 answers to that kind of coming out of my brain straight away. One of the answers is, it's possible that TikTok also integrates with everything fucking else, like Gmail, your whole fucking browsing history, everything. and kind of knows who you are even before you fucking sign up, right? And therefore fucking knows who you are and just sends you all the shit that, you know, who you are. And therefore, you know, the other one is that you just, it's an algorithm, and the algorithm tends towards your tastes and all that kind of stuff. And so it, you just, you know, and I know there's problems with that, that you can end up in an echo chamber and all that kind of thing, and that, you know. But I enjoy like having my interest, so I don't have to search for my interest. It just comes up, you know. It doesn't always happen. Like, the algorithm isn't perfect, but like for the most part, it's pretty fucking amazing, you know.
Yep. And I'm sorry I diverted you. I forget.
Brendan was nodding.
I forget where we were before I went to TikTok.
No, but I think you're definitely a thespian. You're that's where you belong.
Thank you. Yeah. I think I do need to like at least.
And by the way, we're right below or above, I don't know what, the theater here. In this is a very popular theater in Dunleary. I don't know the name of it.
Is it mostly a concert venue, or is it for a production?
No, there's definitely plays, a lot of plays coming here. This is a professional theater here.
The Pavilion.
Yeah, and there's other ones in Dublin, the Gaiety. What's the other one? There's two big
it's
ones.
Been too
two
long.
Big ones in Dublin, yeah. And then there's actually one in Greystones as well called The Whale. And
gonna make it up.
Yeah. And they, and you know what? If you ever integrate, I use your word again, integrate with that subculture or whatever it's called, society. And if you are being here, fucking tell me about it, because I'm interested in doing something like that as well. In a way, I don't know what I can lend a hand to it. I don't know, because I don't think acting is for me, but I'd like to be involved in it somehow. I think
maybe
writing. I don't know. You know? Yeah, I'm definitely. Like, I'm your way inclined. Like, I'm interested in that, the arts and all. Obviously, we're here with, it's the Overland Escape Underground. It's the same, it's a similar deal, in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like apologetic. I haven't really been a part of this Overland Escape Underground for a while. Mm. Like, I haven't dipped into it, and I also haven't, like, uploaded a lot. I was recording on an iPhone, and I couldn't get the files off the iPhone.
Oh, believe me, I get it. Now, that means you also have ADHD. Autism and ADHD. So you're ADHD. So there you go.
It's good.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I wouldn't feel apologetic about it. The main thing is looking after yourself. That's the thing. And it's when you feel that you have a moment. And that's the tricky thing, is being able to turn it on when you do have the moment to be able to record and do things. And it's all about, I don't know, what is it all about? It's serving the greater good, and it's about just being part of something. You know, that's a nice feeling. Yeah, yeah. And Frank Edward-Nora, he is the head of this, and he is, I don't know, he's, you know, he's, in, I don't know, invented is probably the wrong word, but he's definitely...
Spearheaded
it, yeah, yeah. You should be in all my dialogues or monologues, because you can just come in with the words.
I could be a prompter in the theater, at least.
I'd like to go back to more about this, because you seem to be, your eyes kind of shone a little bit. Your face kind of lit up when we mentioned Ulysses and James Joyce. There's definitely, you've found something in that. Okay, so enlighten me.
I think it might have been homesickness for me, because... Like, subconsciously, I think I was running away from family and trauma and stuff when I moved to America.
Yeah.
So that reconnection with parts of Irish history and Irish humor and Irish personality, I think that was important to me at the time.
Jerry, every time you're finishing a sentence, I'm swallowing some vodka. So you have a genuine interest. Now, did you have an interest in this before you moved to America?
I think I tried to read this. I would get it from the library, and I would try to read it, and then, you know, I'd give up, because, you know, it's like 600 pages, and you got to return it in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So eventually, what worked for me was when I was working in an empty state office building as a security guard, and I could print off the pages from, like, Gutenberg.org, and I could read it that way, and then, yeah, I got through it.
Yeah, yeah. But, so, were you a security guard in Ireland before? No, you worked in a radio station.
I did indeed. Do you have memories of Atlantic 250?
I do. I have definitely heard of Atlantic 252. So.
Was it playing on your school bus? Did you have a school bus?
What year were you born, though?
77.
Okay, I'm a year later than you. I'm 78. So almost exactly the same, you know, if you think about it, depending on the month. But, so you had a job there?
Yeah. So I was going to school. Atlantic 252 was on the bus. It was this huge thing. We assumed it was based in England because of the name and all the DJs, but most of the DJs had British accents.
Yeah.
But it turned out it was near me, which was in Trim, County Meath.
Yeah.
I went to, well...
It's in Waterford though, isn't it?
No. It's in Trim. So someone...
Why do I think it's in Waterford?
Because I went to Waterford too, but we'll get there.
Okay.
So someone in Trim, you know, I was out in the pub, someone in Trim worked there and showed me around the building. And then I eventually got to do a radio production course in Waterford, which led to an internship at Atlantic 252.
Oh,
and then I got a job overnight eventually.
Yeah. Because I had like a similar sort of a thing. Like I did like a stint in RTE and all that kind of stuff as work experience and knocking on doors. And I did I think it was a diploma in communications in Maynooth.
Oh, wow.
Kairos, yeah. And I had all radio stuff in it, and I loved that, absolutely loved it. When it came to the radio stuff, and I had my own, like they actually had all, like a real radio station almost, yeah. And license and everything.
Yeah, same for me, yeah.
I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, so, it was awesome. Yeah. I did a version of Hamlet.
Oh, really?
On the college radio thing, yeah.
Now, hold on, now here we come back to the thespian thing
we
again.
We do indeed.
So, Hamlet, again, no, when did what's his name come into it with the Ulysses, James Joyce?
I read it in like 2006, 2007, but I had tried like a few years before that too.
Yeah, but, okay, like we've all tried to read James Joyce, and most was go, Jesus, forget about that. Like, but you went,
so the commit.
I'm going to read that again. Yeah,
the commitment to releasing it like as an audiobook was what got me through it, because I probably would have given up too.
And why did you decide to do that?
Because
to try and understand it better.
Yeah, because I knew it was going to be difficult to get through, and I knew that.
Yeah, a challenge.
You know,
putting that
responsibility on myself would help me get through it.
Yeah, and was that in Ireland or in America?
In America.
Yeah.
One other thing that worked for me was that I started.
But I'm trying to get to it. Was it the transition from you moving to America that made that more important to you in a way?
It was 7 years later, so I'm not sure how much of an impact that had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did it have any bearing on it?
I think, like I said, it was a homesickness, so yeah, some bearing.
But the first time you read James Joyce was in Ireland?
Nope, in America.
In America, okay. Right. So maybe the homesickness part of it drawed you
yes,
into that?
Very much so, yeah.
Okay.
Like I read Patrick McCabe and Emma Donoghue and all these Irish
authors. Okay,
the same
time. Who's Patrick McCabe? Who's Emma Donoghue?
The Butcher Boy.
Go on.
You know about The Butcher Boy? It's a film and a book.
As I said, I'm a pseudo-intellectual. Sure. I don't know the whole.
I can promote...
I pretend to know what I'm talking about.
I can promote Arabi.podomatic.com.
Yeah.
Which is like a short story thing I did like around 2007. And I've got a version or an excerpt from The Butcher Boy there too.
The Butcher Boy does ring a bell. Was that a play as well?
I don't know. But it was a school... It was studies in school when I was in school anyway.
Okay. I do remember one of the plays, The Blood Brothers, but I think that was English though, was it?
I didn't know Blood Brothers.
Yeah, I think I saw that twice, The Blood Brothers, and there's a very scary part where there's a gunshot and it kind of frightens everybody. But yeah, plays, I suppose it depends. Do you go to see plays or anything?
That's a hard question to answer because I was in this codependent relationship and...
Yeah.
I felt responsible to stay at home because she had mental health issues and like I felt like a caregiver a lot of the time. I felt like I had to be home. So no, I didn't go out to any events.
Yeah.
When I visited New York, I got to see a new play called Brooklyn Laundry, which I liked
a lot. You actually went to see it and it was a musical or something?
Yeah, both. I went to see Chicago the musical and then a new play called Brooklyn Laundry.
So you actually enjoy musicals?
I do.
That's hilarious. You know why?
Why?
Because when I tried to do my training in acting in the Philippines, the guys that did it were professionals, and they they were actually the very same ones that did Miss Saigon and all that. Like, they were really, like, they were the exact people that did that. And during, like, I was probably 50% halfway through the acting, they said, like, what we were going to do in another place in the Philippines, in Manila, called the Greenbelt. We were going to put on a play, but it was going to be a musical. But as soon as I heard it was going to be a musical, I'm like, I was gone.
Did you know which musical?
I don't know. Like, we were going to make one or something. But, like, as soon as I heard, no, I may have just going to be the narrator or something, like, but I was like, I didn't want to be involved in the music. I guess I thought I was gay or something, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Miss Saigon has some resonance for me. I visited New York in 1999.
Yeah.
And it was the only play I saw on Broadway at that time.
Yeah.
And
not that, like, I don't, I mean, like, I seen The Lion King and stuff, and I love that stuff. But I just thought, me being part, I thought I'd be prancing about a stage in a ballerina gown.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what I thought. I was like, I didn't want to take part.
I've heard that elsewhere, that you know, show tunes are an indication.
Yeah, yeah. But that's, yeah. So that's definitely your proclivity. Your
Yes, art and entertainment and
productions
and stuff, yeah.
But you have never, like, actually pursued it?
Certainly not consistently, no.
Yeah, yeah. But you have two things under your belt, and you've enjoyed them. That's the thing. You've enjoyed them. That's important. Because the funny thing is with me, I like the idea of all that. And yet, I've tried to take part of it. Apart from this, which is kind of very natural in a way, like, we're doing a sort of creative thing here. But apart from, you know, the things, they've been unlucky for me any time I've tried to enjoy them.
So was the Philippines the only time you did acting?
No, I did one when I was very, very young. And I think it was somewhere up near, probably Jobstown or one of these areas in Tala, because I grew up in Tala. And I was very young though, and everyone thought I was great. As a kid, I was acting on stage. I remember one of the things I remember is we did, I think it was like, what was it? It was a song, Old Dublin, you know, Old Dublin. Hold on, give us a second. My memory's not great. Dublin in the Rare Old Times, that's it, yeah. We did a rendition of that, and I was on stage as an actor, and I was doing that, and we were playing marbles as kids, but I think I was singing along with the signs, you know, it's a, in the rare old times, ring a rosy, as the light declines, I remember Dublin city, in the rare old times. Yeah. Well, that was it, and for some reason it was a bit like going to church for me or something. There was something I didn't like about it, and I said, I don't want to go back there. And then my mother didn't bring me back or something, but I did actually enjoy that part when I was younger.
I remember having some acclaim as a kid in school too, doing plays. I've done that. Sorry, I got quiet.
He's doing it again.
Yeah.
He finished the sentence while I'm trying to swallow my vodka.
Dick can deal with silence. Yeah. It's all right. So I wanted to ask, did you endure corporal punishment when you were growing up?
Yes. When I was in primary school in a place called St. Joseph's, and I think it was in Terranure, which is a posh place, actually. Because we used to take the Talibus, which is about half an hour, which is much longer in those days than it is nowadays. Whenever you were taking journeys in the 70s or 80s, I don't know why I'm saying 70s, because I was born in 78, but anyway, but journeys were a lot longer. I mean, I remember going down to Arklow or you know, places along here, down to Wicklow. It took a lot more longer than we've got motorways now and faster cars. But I did have corporal punishment. I got whacked on the ass a couple of times, and I did not enjoy that. No, I don't think our school, I think my school, for whatever reason, was a private school. I don't know, my mother must have got the money from somewhere. But most of the people that experienced that kind of stuff were in the Christian Brothers kind of schools. I went to Terranure College after that for only 3 years, only up until third year. Then I went to another sort of a private institution. And I think I think the reason I did that was because I didn't have to do another 3 years. I only had to do another 2 years to get my leaving cert, which I fucking just winged. I did not study a thing, and I didn't care what I got, but I basically passed just with D's all the way. Or I think I got one F or something. I didn't care. I just didn't care.
All my report cards
I
say
just hated school.
Oh yeah, all my report cards say Brendan doesn't make the effort.
Yeah, I just hated it. Hated school. I'd look at the window. I'd look at the trees blowing in the wind. Anything, you know. I'd be half asleep most of the time.
Yeah, I remember getting slapped on the palm with a ruler a couple of times.
Oh, yeah.
There was one guy who, like, lifted me up.
Were you in a Christian Brothers thing? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In primary school, there was one guy who lifted me up and, like, shook me by the lapels, which is kind of traumatic. But also at home, my mother would use the wooden spoon, and my father was also violent in other ways.
Yeah. I think I got the wooden spoon, but I never actually saw that as a violent thing. I guess now in this new kind of woke age, I suppose it is. But there was, it almost seems like a fun thing, like, ooh, it's the wooden spoon, you know?
I wish I had your attitude.
Yeah, really? Okay. So, I don't know, yeah. Because, you know, there was the spoon, what was that one? The spoon, you know, the buttons, button moon and the spoon.
Don't recall that.
Off to button moon. You never watched Button Moon?
Nope.
Oh, you must have seen Button Moon. You only hear all
was that Irish?
Well, it was probably English, but it was...
Because we didn't have any English stations when I was growing up.
You must have had Button Moon. I'm going to show you YouTube of it. You're definitely going to remember
Button. We had RTE, so Bosco and Wanderly Wagon was the size of it.
Oh, you must know Button Moon.
Nope.
And the other guys, they look like hippos. You know, those guys...
Don't think so.
I can't believe you don't know Button Moon. Hold on, I'm going to pause this. Hold on a second. I'm going to show him Button Moon. Hold on a second. Now, we're an hour in. You know the way these things could get tedious? We want to wind it up, and then I'll show you Button Moon and everything else.
Sure.
Okay, so this has been Brendan Eddie Dunleary is what I named it. And I guess I'll just post it as that. I'll probably send it to Frank or something like that. And beyond everything else, we just want to thank Frank for everything. It's brought people together from all over the world, even two Irish guys been separated. He's been gone to America, back to Ireland now, and so many other people. I guess that's the best way to finish this. This is just...
I also want to say that you introduced me to Overnightscape because I found you on Podcast Alley first, and then you were talking about Frank, and that's how I got into it. And you did Trampler Sampler.
Yeah.
And then I jumped in after that because you inspired me. I think that's, Frank says, that's what's got the Overnightscape Underground rolling. So
yeah.
I appreciate you introducing me to it.
Yeah.
And goodbye for now.
Exactly. So yeah, goodbye for now. And just like the whole thing just sort of, that's the history, and that's how it knitted together. And we know how this can get tedious, like things going on. This is nearly an hour now. And see how the whole place got quiet there for this moment? Look at that.
The hush.
The hush in the room. All right, so we will leave it there. I don't know if there's much more to say on that. And we'll just continue on talking. I do have a train at a certain time, but I have another hour or two. And so that's it for now. I don't know how we're going to release this. I'll probably just send it to Frank. Meanderer Trampler
episode of...
Yeah.
Do you still have
Cloudbase? Yeah, Meanderer Trampler episode. Yeah, yeah. The whole rigmarole. No, I don't. I don't. I don't do that anymore.
What do you call your shows now?
I just do the Central.
Okay. All right. Meander Trampler Sampler Special then.
Meander Trampler Sampler Special, or Brendan Eddie Dunleary. So from here we're signing out, and we're gonna be kind of normal from here on in, and talk about other stuff. Thank you for tuning in, and again, thanks to Frank, and I can see other people turn around because I'm kind of shouting. But anyway, Frank, and oh, by the way, monetarily, I know, I just want to get, we are conscious of how difficult it is now with your new browser, your server stuff, yeah, and I will contribute when I can, definitely. And that's exactly what we're talking about here, is a whole and monetary thing, and maybe Brendan. And by the way,
just before he finished, I did try to get Neil from Ireland. He lives literally meters, probably 100, 200 meters from me where I live. Because, funnily enough, if I can get this, if this can still record while I have a look, for some reason, I went into Twitter and his name now, Neil from Ireland, is now, for some reason, Megan McCarthy on Twitter. So I don't know what the hell happened to you, Neil, on Twitter. Are you trans, Neil? He's blind, actually, I think. And
really?
And I don't know if that's meant to be, if I'm allowed to say that or not. But yeah, you're now Megan McCarthy. But I have tried to get in touch with you because I've seen you on TikTok, Neil. And I tried to make you, I tried to ask you out today if you could come out. But hopefully we will hook up with you someday. Myself or Brendan or both of us or one of us or whatever as well. So Neil from Into Your Head, because I know he's been one of the major contributors here as well. And, you know, yeah, I think we'll just leave it at that because it's coming up to an hour. And I hope he's enjoyed, because this is a whole, I don't know, historical context of the overnight skip underground and all that. And so that's from me and from him and from him and to me and Brendan and all that kind of stuff.
Hard to believe it's been 19 years since what was it?
Yeah.
TEDcast?
There you go. It is TED hard
Pod.
To believe. Yeah, TED Pod. It is hard to believe. So it's there you go. And from all of us here, from all in you, everything, bye-bye. See you later. Now...